Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone at Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Mukunda Datta Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.17.34 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association and time this morning, Prabhuji. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Okay, so today we're discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 17. Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. And we'll probably do two verses, 34 and 35. And since there's only one verse left after that, we may just finish the chapter. But first, let us say Mangala Charana. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
This is, again, we'll begin with text number 34. Savai Bhavan Atman Vinirmitam Jagat Bhutendriyanta Karanatmakam Vipo Samsthapayashyanna Jamam Rasatalad Abhyujjaharam Bhasa Adishukaraha. Translation. My dear Lord, you are always unborn. Once, in the form of the original boar, you rescued me from the waters at the bottom of the universe. Through your own energy, you created all the physical elements, the senses, and the heart for the maintenance of the world. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This refers to the time when Lord Krishna appeared as the supreme boar, Varaha, and rescued the earth, which had been merged in water. The Asura Hiranyaksha had dislocated the earth from its orbit and thrown it beneath the waters of the Garbhodaka ocean. Then the Lord, in the shape of the original boar, rescued the earth. Who is speaking these prayers?
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth. And according to Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on this verse, he says, for the purpose of maintaining all the pranis, all the living entities, within this world, Mam rasatalar udhrityedanim prajarakshane pravittasya madvadho yukta iti sakarunanaha dvabhyam. In two verses, Mother Earth is piteously appealing to the same Lord who previously, in order to protect the living entities, had lifted her up from the nether regions of the universe. And now, for the purpose of also protecting the prajas, he's engaged in killing her. And she says, this is not proper. Nayukta. Hey Aja, yaha srishtavan sa eva bhavan sunirmitam characharam jagat samyak sthapayitam adisukarahasan mam abhyujjahara. You are the same person who lifted me up on your tusk as the original boar, Adisukara, and now for the purpose of maintaining the universes that you yourself have created, you're still engaged in this, is the idea. You're the one who invented this world, you are maintaining this world, but I'm the same world that you protected earlier, and now you're prepared to kill me. Sometimes the wives they have to hint things to their husbands. So he's Shakti Avesha Vatara of the Lord. In that respect, you can say Prithu Maharaj was the husband of Tara Devi, Bhumi Devi. So she goes on in the next verse, she says, Apamupaste maina vyavastitaha prajabhavan adhyarirakshishuhu kila daviramurtihi samabhudharadharo yomam payas yugrasharo jikhamsasi. Same thing, she says. My dear Lord, in this way, you once protected me by rescuing me from the water, and consequently your name has been famous as Taradhara, he who holds the planet Earth. Yet, at the present moment, in the form of a great hero, you are about to kill me with sharpened arrows. I am, however, just like a boat on the water, keeping everything afloat. Purport. The Lord is known as Taradhara, meaning he who keeps the planet Earth on his tusks as the boar incarnation. Thus the planet Earth, in the shape of a cow, is accounting the contradictory acts of the Lord. Although he once saved the Earth, he now wants to upset the Earth, which is like a boat on the water. No one can understand the activities of the Lord. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, human beings sometimes think the Lord's activities contradictory. Om jnana tamaram tasya jnanam jina shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah shri chaitanya manohishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamakyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sa Vrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Kahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Shri Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusvate Devi Namami Haripriye Vansha Kalpata Rukhyascha Kripasindhya Evacha Pratidanam Bhavani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Purva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As we know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yada yada hi karnamasya, glani bhavati bharata pyadi. And in explaining these verses, Srila Prabhupada mentions, well, he quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verses 263 and 64. Krishti hetu je murti prapanche avatare, she ishwar murti avatara namadhare. Maya tita parapyome shavar avastham vishve avatari thare avataram nam. That the avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation, and the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatara. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatara. The name avatara actually means not incarnation, but one who descends. Avatara. Incarnation is almost a misleading term, because incarnation, karna, in Latin. The word carne means meat, flesh. Therefore, we're called, what is that? Carnivores, when we eat meat. So, it's really not the right idea. Again, the point I made many times in my lectures that the English words don't really fit the Sanskrit words. We don't really have corresponding meanings, which makes it difficult to understand sometimes. Anyway, that's a minor issue. And then Srila Prabhupada continues in the same purport from chapter 4, text 8 of Bhagavad Gita. There are various kinds of avataras, such as Purusha avatara, Guna avatara, Leela avatara, Shakti avesh avatara, Manvantara avatara, and Yuga avatara. That's six categories. The three Mahavishnu forms, the three Guna avatars, Brahma Vishnu Mahesh, Leela avatars, Shakti avesh avatars, all the Manus, and the Yuga avatars. They all appear on schedule all over the universe, but Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avataras. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees, who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatara is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. So, therefore, in Srila Prabhupada's translation, in his purport, he says, this is the purport to text 34 of today's verse. This refers to the time when Lord Krishna appeared as the supreme boar Varaha and rescued the earth, which had been merged in water. He always very rarely loses the opportunity to remind us that the original supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna. And he very often uses the name Krishna interchangeably with that of other forms of the Lord who may be discussed in the various verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and elsewhere. So here it's clear he's doing that. Adi Sukaraha. This is the term that she's using in text 34, Bhumi Devi. And in text 35, she uses a similar name, Dharatara. Dhara means the earth. Why? Dhara. Dharati. She upholds everything. She upholds all of us. Srila Prabhupada makes the point also elsewhere. Sometimes the worlds and the material worlds are considered to be dvipas, islands. And sometimes these worlds are considered to be boats. Here she's acting as a boat. Why boat? Apam upaste, because she was situated on the water. Actually, she was sunk into the water. She was situated within the water, you can say, apam upaste. And the Lord came to protect her. So she's reminding him of this. I don't recognize you in this form. You were my husband who took me upon your lap. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, says very poignantly, before Varaha Dev, you wanted to protect all the prajas within me, their boat on the water. Now you want to kill me for milk. So he says the meaning of this is that your prajas were my children on my lap, and I gave them milk. Seeing them evil now, I, as their mother, teach them good character by withholding that same milk. Now you want to punish me. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in his purport that the Lord's activities are sometimes contradictory. No one can understand the activities of the Lord. This is the penultimate sentence in his purport of text 35. Very powerful statement, essential statement, very important statement. We always have to remember, we cannot understand this. Here, we're not dealing with a Leela avatar, we're not dealing with a Guna avatar, or any of the other kinds of avatars. We're dealing with Shakti Avesh avatar. And Shakti Avesh avatara, they tend to be concealed. So, Tara Devi, Bhumi Devi, she knows who the Lord is. She's reminding him who he is. But as far as we're concerned, we may forget his identity and we may become confused. So generally we hold persons to very strict standards, especially devotees. We judge very harshly and we forget that sometimes the activities of the devotees are also very difficult to understand. This is another thing that is mentioned here in this connection, but whether we can understand the Lord or not, whether we can understand the devotees or not, what we should all try to remember is that it's very, very difficult to understand the workings of the devotees. What is that verse? Vaishnavarkiyamudravijnenavuchai. Even if you are a very learned, a realized person, still you cannot understand always the activities of the pure devotees. So Maharaj Prithu is certainly such a pure devotee. For that reason, he's become empowered with the potency of the Supreme Lord. That is the definition of the Shakti Adesha Avatara. Which of the Supreme Lord's powers was he imbued with? Lokapalanam. How to protect the world. Loka means world or means people in general. In either case, it works. So she's reminding him, if your purpose is to come and protect the loka in the sense of people, that's okay, but loka also means planet, and you have to protect me. So she's raising this irony that you're the same as my husband before. Bhuvaraha, particularly in South India, it's very common. We worship the Lord as Bhuvaraha, many temples of Bhuvaraha. And we see that little small Bhumi Devi is situated on the end of his tusk. The Lord is, or sometimes little planet is situated on the end of his tusk. This is how it's portrayed. So she's saying that. She's reminding him of this in a very feminine way, indirectly, very respectfully. But I think Sridhar Swami in his commentary, he says, Evam bhuto yasatvam payasi nimitte mam jighamsasi. Now you want to kill me for some milk, but you're the very same person who had protected me in the beginning. So she says, iti chitram. This is very colorful. Actually, chitram means colorful also.
Possibly.
Yeah, it means surprising. Wonderful, but the English translation in this context I think would be quite appropriate, because when we say someone is colorful, it means, you know, there's little funny things going on. So she's kind of subtly hinting, not only that what was their previous relationship, but what is her feeling about the current situation. She says, this is very colorful of you to act like this. Very wonderful that you've acting like this. So it's very interesting to see how Lakshmi Devi is dealing with. She must recognize her husband. She calls him my dear Lord in the following these verses. So this is the feminine psychology. We can see it operative here. But she's also extremely respectful. She's not like Srimati Radharani, that she will ever cross her husband or directly oppose him. She's acting very nicely. This is the reason we find in throughout Srila Prabhupada's books and throughout the Vedic literature in general, it's described that Lakshmi and Narayan, the relationship between Vishnu and his wife, Lakshmi, that is considered to be the paradigm for married life in the material world amongst all of us. Whatever they do, we have to take that as exemplary and we should follow it. Therefore, she's saying it's wonderful that although you're normally setting such a perfect example of who is the perfect husband, that's a pretty tough act for husbands to follow. And she's also acting as the perfect wife, which is a pretty tough act for all wives to follow. But she's saying that it's wonderful that although you protected me previously, you performed your dharma, you fulfilled your duty of protecting me previously, now you want to kill me? So, hey Aja, yes, Srishtavan, you're the person who previously created this world. You're the unborn person who created this world. So Eva Bhavan, you're the very same person Svanirmitam Characharam Jagat Samyak Sthapayatam. For the purpose of maintaining this entire creation, and the categories of this creation are elaborated a little bit in text number 35. What does it begin with? From more gross to more subtle. She lists these things. First thing, Jagat, this world. The second thing, Bhuta, what this world consists of, the physical elements. What are the Mahabhutas? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Bhumi is one of those Mahabhutas. And more subtle than that, Indriya. We have senses. Our senses are also made out of these gross elements, but they're more subtle than the elements themselves. And then Antahakarana, the mind, the heart. Prabhupada translates it here as mind, heart. We know Antahakarana has three constituents. What are those? No. Antahakarana, the sukshma sharira, subtle body.
Mind,
intelligence, both. Because Srila Prabhupada is only talking about the mind and the heart, because heart is a nebulous term in English. There really is no equivalent for this word heart in Sanskrit. Well, we have Hridaya, but that's a different thing. Anyway, Antahakarana, and finally Atmakam. Atmakam is a suffix that means consisting of those things. But Atmakam also, the particular choice of words also suggests something even more subtle, which is
soul.
But anyway, she is talking about the mundane elements here. So this is the material world that one who is empowered with the Supreme Lord's Shakti to protect, he has to consider all these aspects. I'm protecting not only the planet itself, but the Buddhas within it, and the senses of all the living entities, and their subtle bodies are also my responsibility. The leader has to make sure that they're all Krishna conscious, like this. So, Rasatala, Abhyujahara. You took me out of Rasatala. Amhasa in the water, as Adi Sukara, the original boar. Nowadays, we hardly see any temples to Lord Varahadev, but previous ages, Varahadev's worship was very popular, particularly in central India, Madhya Pradesh. Many, many, many ancient temples of Lord Varahadev, Shukara Rupa. What is that? Jayadev Goswami says, in the beginning, just now it is some blank, but Dharani Dharana. Yeah, so he's Dhara Dhara means the same thing. Dharani
Dharana.
Vasati Dashana Shikare Vatani Tala Lagna Shashini Kaleva. What is that? Shashini Kalanka Kalevina Magna. Like a spot on the moon, because Lakshmi Devi was sitting on his tusk.
Mm-hmm.
If Lakshmi Devi is a spot, is a kalanka, then what are we? So he performed this lila previously, and she's reminding him, I am your wife only. Why? Two things is described. Number one, you cannot kill a woman. Srila Prabhupada points this out. And number two, you cannot kill an innocent person. So her innocence is not yet established. We've learned this from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Why is she doing what she's doing? This is Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj Prithu's doubt or his objection here is that, look, I've asked you to deliver milk. You're not delivering milk. Mm-hmm. This is your duty. It's my duty to make sure these citizens of Fed, we've read in previous verses, they're all very hungry. They're complaining. We need something to eat. So he's angry. And he's, you can see that this is pretty much the first thing he's done. In previous chapters, we found that he was being praised in so many ways by the Vandis and the Charanas and the Siddhas and others. So he was saying that, you know, wait and let me do something before you praise me. Now it's his time to deliver. Sometimes when a person first gets an office, they want to prove themselves. I remember a few years ago, since we're talking about milk, in the Sadhu Sangha retreat, they had brought so much Ahimsa milk, first-class milk, from out of state. And then, because there was a new person in the office of, you know, the inspector who had to check out what we're doing, trying to prove herself, she told us, you have to throw away all this milk. You cannot take it back. I mean, I want a gallon, many, many, many gallons of milk. You can imagine cooking for 3,000 people, how much milk you're going to require. All that Ahimsa milk wasted. They said either you put bleach into the milk or you put it down the drain, or both. So simple. As they say in English, don't cry over spilled milk, but actually it is a big deal. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada said, milk is liquid religiosity. If you drink milk, it is drinking karma. So Maharaj Prithu has an obligation. He's trying to fulfill his obligation. He's not wrong. And but also Lakshmi Devi in the form of Bhu Devi, Dhara Devi, Dharti, she is also not wrong. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, she's only trying to discipline her children, which every mother does. Now, what is the problem with the children that requires discipline? Not so clear, is it? It's not been described, I think.
Under the rule of Vena, Maharaj Vena, everything has become
difficult. Yeah, that's what I understand as well. But because Vena was killed now, so all the rogues and thieves were multiplying and they were creating havoc. So this is the point. That's how I understand it. All right, so this is text 34 and text number 35. What else can we say? Veeramurti here. You are now in a heroic form. This refers to Prithurupa, according to Sridhar Swami. And, yeah, I think that's good. Adhara. When she says, Mayi Navi, all these living entities are within me, within their boat, he points out, Adhara Bhutayam Upaskitaha. The basis, again, it's the same dhatu, Tridhatu. Tridhatu is the root of Dhara, Dharati. And if you say Adhara, just like now we all have our Adhara card. So Adhara is the basis, the support, the thing which upholds you. And similarly, the word Dharma, since this is a question of Dharma here, Maharaj Prithu is trying to uphold Dharma. And Dharma also comes from the same root. As I think it's Manusmriti says, Dharma Rakshati Rakshitaha. If you protect Dharma, then you will be upheld by Dharma. You'll be protected by Dharma. So, very, very important thing to consider here. All right, let's go on to text number 36 now. He says, Nunam janayari hitam ishvaranam asmad vidhaistad guna sargamayaya na jnayate mohita chitta varmabhi tebhyo namo viraya shaskarebhyah. My dear Lord, I am also the creation of one of your energies, composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your activities. Even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood, and what to speak of your pastime. Thus everything appears to us to be contradictory and wonderful. You notice that her speech is becoming a little more pointed. She's becoming a little bit more explicit about what's on her mind. So, you know, we don't have access to the body language here, so we can't understand why she's doing this. But maybe she's seeing that he's not really getting the point. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada says. The activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various forms and incarnations are always uncommon and wonderful. Always uncommon and wonderful. Think about this. Not only the activities of the Lord, but even the activities of devotees, they're very often uncommon. unlikely, I mean to say. Who would have imagined that Ramchandra, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, would have to take the help of so many monkeys in order to accomplish his aim? It is uncommon, and it's wonderful. Who would have imagined that the greatest acharya in the world, who has actually preached even more than Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, practically in terms of the breadth of his dharma and his tapana, who would imagine that he would have to be stepping over passed out alcoholics in the gutter of New York City? Who can imagine any of the wonderful things that the Lord does? Inconceivable things. So this is something we can think of. The most unlikely persons are often the ones who become empowered, and that is the way that the Lord does things. Prabhupada says here, they're always uncommon. Even Ramchandra, he's Maryada Purushottam, he's supposed to act by the rules every time, but even his activities are very far out, very difficult to understand. So, it is not possible for a tiny human being to estimate the purpose and plans of such activities. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless the Lord's activities are accepted as inconceivable, they cannot be explained. Where has Jiva Goswami said this? Srila Prabhupada writes, therefore, Jiva Goswami has said that unless the Lord's activities are accepted as inconceivable, they cannot be explained. Actually, all over the place he says this. His whole satsandarbhas are based on this. Really, if you Prabhupada told Swarup Damodar Goswami on this morning walk in Venice Beach, I think it was in 1975, that you know, without accepting this achintya shakti, there can be no theistic conception. You can have no idea of God unless you accept the achintya shakti. It is that central. Therefore, we find that Jiva Goswami and the others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they emphasize this in their interpretation of Vedanta. In Vedanta, we have basically five or six major Vedanta acharyas. There's Shankaracharya, who has the monistic position. There's Vallabhacharya, who also has monistic position, but Vaishnava monism. There is Ramanujacharya, who says, yes, Advaita, but qualified Advaita. And then there's Nimbarkacharya, who says, okay, well, Veda, both Veda and Aveda, but without explaining it. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasizes the role of the achintya shakti because it's absolutely necessary. You cannot understand the ways that the Lord works and how he reconciles so many apparently contradictory things. It's just not possible. So that has to be emphatic. And only the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya has that emphatic understanding. Achintya bheda bheda. That's all. This is the absolute truth. And it adheres not only in the relationship between the Lord and his multi-potencies, but in the relationships between the potencies themselves. Therefore, we can say that even to understand the activities of the Vaishnavas is very, very difficult to understand. So this is an important point. The Lord is eternally existing as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Goloka Vrindavan. He has also simultaneously expanded himself in innumerable forms, beginning with Lord Ram. Who is this Lord Ram? Huh? Well, I'm asking. Balaram. Actually, the first expansion is this Ram. There are three Ramas. Balaram, Parashuram, yes, Ramchandra, Raghuram. So either way you take it. Oh, here he says, Ram, Lord Ram, Lord Narasimha, Lord Varaha, and all the incarnations coming directly from Sankarsana. So this would be Ramchandra. Because Balaram doesn't come from Sankarsana. So, Sankarsana is the expansion of Balaram. Baladev. And Baladev is the first expansion of Krishna. Therefore, all these incarnations are known as Kala. Ete changsha kala pumsam Krishna su bhagavan swayam. This is the entire focus of Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhagavad Sandarbha. How to explain how all the multi-forms are manifest, what are their relationships with one another, how Krishna is the Supreme, how there is a Bhagavan to begin with. Lagu Bhagavatamrita. And the same topic is dealt with more fundamentally in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. So this is Bhagavatam, first canto. All the listing, all the avatars, it says all these avatars are either Kalas or Amshas of the Lord, but actually Swayam Bhagavan to Krishna he has. The term Ishwaranam refers to all the personalities of Godhead. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Rama Adi Murti Shukalani Yamena Tishtam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed that all the incarnations are partial expansions or kala of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not take the plural number of the word Ishwaranam to mean that there are many Godheads. The fact is that God is one, but he exists eternally and expands himself in innumerable forms and acts in various ways. Sometimes the common man is bewildered by all this and considers such activities contradictory. But they are not contradictory. There is a great plan behind all the Lord's activities. So this is another important point. Contradiction. We find Krishna consciousness is full of contradictions at every step, isn't it? Mm-hmm. This is why Prabhupada is emphasizing this point. You cannot understand. What is it that we emphasize in the first verse? No one can understand the activities of the Lord. Very simply, directly stated. And we pointed out in the second verse here that also the devotees' activities are very difficult to understand. They do appear to be contradictory. Maharaj Prithu's activities, she's saying, appears to be contradictory and wonderful. But they're not. There's a method to the madness, as Shakespeare said. Now Prabhupada continues. For our understanding, it is sometimes said that the Lord is situated in the heart of the thief as well as in the heart of the householder. But the super soul in the heart of the thief dictates, go and steal things from that particular house. And at the same time, the Lord tells the householder, now be careful of thieves and burglars. These instructions to different persons appear contradictory, yet we should know that the super soul, the personality of Godhead, has some plan. And we should not consider such activities contradictory. The best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, and being protected by him, remain peaceful. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the fourth canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Maharaj Prithu Becomes Angry at the Earth. So what are we to make of all these contradictions that we see in the Lord's character, in the Lord's activities, even in those of his devotees? What are we to make of all this contradiction? We have our static understanding of what is dharma, what is real, what is not real. We have our static understanding, very limited, puny understanding. We are seeing not even, practically speaking, we're not even seeing a partial picture. We're so obscured by Maya. But here Prabhupada is emphasizing that there is a plan. The Lord has a plan. Now, he gives this nice analogy that we hear many times. So the same super soul was giving intelligence to the thief how to get in there and get it done secretly. And the same super soul is giving intelligence to the householder and how to protect your assets. Asset protection. So what to do about this? How do we process this? It appears to be a contradiction, but the only logical conclusion, if we want to be logical, the only logical conclusion here is that Krishna sometimes favors one and sometimes doesn't favor one. Now, that's also not really true. because Krishna always favors one, but the favor takes the form of the favor that Mata Bhumi Devi is showing to her children, her puja. He sometimes has to discipline us, sometimes has to teach us through hardship that you cannot try to be an enjoyer in this world because it's not you, it's not real. You'll suffer only. Therefore, he accentuates that suffering. He exacerbates that suffering on occasion. Deliberately, he puts us into difficulty and makes us to suffer. This is why the atheists, they accuse God is just, you know, he's cruel. So many people get hung up on this point. They say, I cannot believe in a God who would have exterminated 6 million Jews during World War II because he allowed that to happen. There's no denying it. You cannot say that if he's omnipotent, omniscient, that, you know, he didn't let that happen. Sometimes Krishna plays hardball with people. Do you think it's an easy thing to enter a gas chamber without even knowing what you're doing? And suddenly you see everybody's getting dizzy and dropping around you. And then you realize that you're all being killed. Is that an easy experience? Is it a very merciful experience? Is this the kind of mercy that you, of the God that you worship? I'm out of here. People say like this. So, here's the thing. When Krishna wants to give you a hard time, there's really not much that you can do about it. There's really not much you can do about it. If Krishna wants to stick it to you, there's just nothing you can do. You have to eat it. But this is love. It's called tough love in primary education. You heard this term?
No.
Primary educational circles. When the teachers have to discipline these little kids, that you know how they are. They get out of hand. And the teachers have to discipline them. You know, time out. Nowadays, it's no longer fashionable. But they used to beat children, actually. Not beat them, but slap them a little bit. In fact, they have a saying in English, bear the rod, spoil the child. It's true. And the spiritual master also, he has the same onus. He doesn't enjoy doing it, but sometimes he has to really chastise the disciple just to wake him up to the reality of his situation. And so Krishna reserves a really tough task for himself. He doesn't make his devotees abuse others. But here we see Shakti Avesha Latar Maharaj Prithu, who is in one sense, you can say, he's devotee also. He has to deal with the earth very roughly. And she's bringing up this contradictory nature of things. And she's complaining about it. It will be resolved, we'll see, in the coming chapter how this happens. But the point is that although the Lord's activities appear to be contradictory, he has his plan, and we as parts and parcels have to surrender. That is the hard part. And when Krishna is being very harsh with us, as Srimati Radharani said, when he's handling us roughly by his embrace, or when he's breaking our hearts by not being present before us, we have to surrender to that also. Just as Radharani had to surrender to it. Therefore, sometimes in Vrindavan, the devotees, they're not so fond of Krishna as much as they're fond of Srimati Radharani. Because Srimati Radharani, being the feminine essence, being the Radhani Shakti, she's only pleasing. Her only function is to please Radhani Shakti. Of course, she's pleasing Krishna. She doesn't always please us because she's representing him. But the devotees, generally they prefer to take shelter of Srimati Radharani because Krishna can do anything. We know this. She knows this. She says this. You can do it. Yatha yatha vavidita tulampato. A rascal like you, a reprobate, a thoroughly incorrigible cur and knave like you can do anything, she says. Here be. This is the devotee. We have a hard time with Krishna, and Srimati Radharani understands that because she also has a hard time with Krishna. This is the whole point. Her friends came and surrounded her after Krishna had gone away to Dwarka, and they all said, listen, he's not coming back. What are you wasting your life with? This? You're better than him. You deserve more than him. This is what they say sometimes, right? So she said, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's true. He's Lampata, but Matrananata, Kyakunu. So this is her wonderful, wonderful example, worshipable example. This is why we worship Srimati Radharani. And she actually absorbs most of the impact on our behalf. If we take shelter of her, she will buffer, you know, the impact of Krishna's harshness. Sometimes Krishna has to be hard with us. Suffering has to, and he's definitely doing it. As Prabhupada said, there's no contradiction. He's definitely giving us a hard time sometimes. We know this. But the best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, and being protected by him, remain peaceful. It's a certain kind of peace that is not appreciated by the materialistic person. One saint in Vrindavan said, if you want peace, worship Lakshmi Narayan. If you want bliss, worship Radha Krishna. The implication is that you will have bliss, but not necessarily peace. But that bliss is also a kind of peace. It is. It is very, very busy peace. Very blissful, you know, intense enjoyment, you can say, is not really peace, but it is happiness. So this is Vrindavan Krishna consciousness. This is Braj Bhakti. These are things we can see between the lines of this episode of the Bhagavatam, where, as we said, we're finishing up this chapter 17, now done. So we can go on to text 18, and we'll hear how this dilemma is resolved after Bhumi Devi has submitted her pathetic appeal in piteous tones before the Lord, trying to spur his memory that I'm the very same wife that you protected previously. Well, how are you treating me now? So we'll see what happens. For now, I'm going to stop unless there are any questions or comments. Contradiction means achintya shakti. Any questions, comments?
Thank you so much, Sivaji, for the wonderful class. Anybody having any questions or comments for Sivaji?
Hare Krishna, Ji Mukunda Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your association. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Dhanvat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Now, one thing we can point out, since it seems like nobody has any questions, back in chapter 16, we find a very significant statement. There, the Bandis who are praising the king, they tell him, Matri bhakti parastrishu patnyam ardha ivatmanaha rajasu pitravat snigdhaha kinkaro brahmavadinam. The king will respect all women as if they were his own mother, and he will treat his own wife as the other half of his body. He will be just like an affectionate father to his citizens, and he will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees who always preach the glories of the Lord. So this kind of emphasizes the irony that Bhumi Devi is bringing up in today's verse. This is how King Prithu has been praised. Now, in text 22, they also told him, This king, the protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. What form has Virat Devi taken in this episode? Do we? A cow. Because he's trying to kill her. So she's thinking, well, maybe he's willing to kill a woman, but he won't kill a cow. So, not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed end of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. These are statements that we've heard in the previous chapter. There's one more that is also maybe indicative. Since this king will always remain on the path of piety, he will be neutral to both his son and the son of his enemy. If the son of his enemy is not punishable, he will not punish him. But if his own son is punishable, he will immediately punish him. So you can extend. You can extend this to include, Bhumi Devi. At least, I'm speculating that this is Maharaj Prithu's idea. So we'll see how it works out in the following chapters. Otherwise, no questions, then we'll stop here.
Thank you, Mukunda Prabhu, for such a sweet, wonderful nectarian class. Shila Mukunda Prabhu ki jai. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful class. Sandavat Pranam, and goes to Shila Prabhupada. We look forward to your more sessions, Prabhuji. We bear obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpita Rupyasya Krupa Sindhya Kundacha Patita Anam Pavanichi Vaishnavepyo Namo Krandra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grace Mukundadatta Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.